Welcome to the podcast, Nimrod.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Likewise.
The Dance Again podcast.
Definitely.
At the Nova Exhibition. Can you tell me where you're from?
Nowadays, I live in Ginaton. It's a small village in central Israel. Before this, for 6 years, I was living in Tel Aviv. And before that, I was growing up in my parents' house in the north. Small village as well, called Atzmon.
And so you live like close to Tel Aviv?
Yeah, approximately 20 minutes.
Okay.
Ish.
And what do you do?
I'm one of the founders of this amazing community which called Tribe of Nova. Before October 7, the parties and the community gatherings were more like a hobby for me. I used to work in tech and law firm, and always it was like a side gig of me. I just love to do parties.
It sounds like you guys all love to party.
Yeah, definitely.
Were you part of like Zat L'Neshama or you were part of the new Nova, just Nova?
Yeah, I'm one of the partners in Zat L'Neshama and the company that produced the Nova Festival and owned the brand.
Okay. So 2014 was the first year of Zat L'Neshama and that's when you were involved?
No, I joined the company actually when just a bit before Nova was established.
Okay.
I was like from the team and then we decided to establish the Nova and then it became what it became.
How did you get pulled into it?
Well, I do parties from the age of 15.
Yeah.
I just love to watch people dancing and enjoying and know that I had some portion of making it happen. Mm-hmm. It's like something that very fulfilling me. So, as I said, from the age of 15, it always was a hobby and the thing that I do for my soul. So, the parties is a big part of my life for almost 15 years. By total coincidence, I went to work in a bar in some trans party that two guys were producing. Their name is Yagil Rimoni and Omri Sassi.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met them there as a bartender. And I immediately became friends of them and started to attend their parties. It was 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Yeah. So how old are you now?
29.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, this party was my first psytrance party. I immediately fell in love.
What's psytrance music?
What is psytrance?
Yeah.
Psychedelic trance.
Psychedelic trance.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, what's the difference between psytrance and regular trance? Or it's the same thing?
I don't know. I just love to dance for it.
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, so you got pulled in through Sassi and Yagil.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah, yeah. I met them in this party, and in the end of the party, I remember telling them, okay, this was the best thing I did in my whole life.
Really?
When you do it again, call me.
Really?
Yeah, and they just called me each time they did it.
Why did they think that you were valuable to the team?
At the beginning, I was just attending their parties. And every time I was coming with a bunch of friends. And I think they saw that I can bring friends to the party. And they offered me to join the team. And then was the idea of creating the Nova.
Wow. So what year was this? You said it was like 4 years ago.
20.
20.
2020.
That's a bad year for starting music festivals and parties and stuff like that.
Yeah, we started it in the corona.
And the purpose was just to like dance and have a good time.
Yeah, but not just. Basically, the whole idea from the first beginning was to build a community around this kind of events. Yeah. And not to call it just a party, it's a community gathering. And each and every time that I will tell you about an event of Nova, I won't say it's just a party. I won't just say just a festival. It's a community gathering. Because we have a lot of other initiatives besides of coming to dance and hear some music that we do as the Nova community. And it can be like beach cleaning days with the community. It can be volunteering in other communities that we want to be part of our agenda and movement. So the thing and the main like purpose of that thing is to understand that all of the world is built on bonds, right? And not share bonds, bonds between each other. And our mission through the community is to create connections and to build bonds and through that build a better society.
Did you feel like it was lacking that you didn't have that at that point? Or what was the impetus is what we would say. It was just you felt you wanted to build a community, or you felt like there wasn't a community that
minded people? No, I never had a dream of building a community.
Okay.
But I was always building communities around myself, for myself, not as a work. But every like gig that I do, I build a community for myself around this kind of thing. It may be surfing, maybe on music, maybe on sports, but I like building circles above, next to me.
Yeah, you like to have a lot of people and connections. And
yeah.
So before you started Nova, you said, or you were part-time working in tech and law and stuff like that?
Full-time.
Full-time.
Yeah.
What companies were you working for?
I was working in, just when we started in Nova, I used to be a Wolt delivery guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Wolt is like Postmates in Israel.
Like Uber Eats.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then it was time that I had an idea that I want to connect between a company to a buyer in a field that I don't know. And I started looking for buyers, investors that want to acquire the company. And the company that I used to know from the army, we did some kind of evaluation with his products, and I knew that his products are good. And he told me that he wanted to sell his company. So I started looking for investors. And then I remember asking a good friend of mine, his name is Guy Katsovich. He is a venture capital fund in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, Guy, how can I find a buyer, acquires investors to the company? Can you help me? And then he told me, hey, you need to come to my conference and just meet people and to create connections. He told him, okay, when is your conference? And he told me, next Thursday you should come. I went to this conference, an innocent and young Wolt delivery guy with the whole... a venture capital industry in Israel in one room.
You're like, whoops.
And for back, I think that it's very funny that you invited me. It's like, I really appreciate it. It's like one of the best gifts I've had got in my whole life. And an amazing opportunity to get to know people that I would not have the chance to know them in another way, another world. I'm going inside this room and I don't know anyone. I remember it was an open bar and an open kitchen, and the best thing to do in my eyes was to grab a drink and another one and another one.
Yeah.
And just I began to think, okay, I don't know anyone. What can I lose? Just go and say hi to people. What can happen? And I said hi to a bunch of people and like create connections. Till today, I have friends from this amazing event. But after I got introduced myself to a few very nice people, who was about my age or like a bit older than me, I was thinking myself, okay, this was easy. Let's go for a big shark. And I looked around and saw like an older guy, looks around 65, with a suit, with white hair. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, okay, I go to him. His name is Doron Latzer, and he was one of the most amazing and influenced people that I've ever met. And he inspired me a lot. And go to him and say hello and start a little chat. A little schmooze. I ask him what his occupation. He tell me that he is the founder of Perlcoin Law Firm, which is one of the biggest law firms in Israel that dealing with tech companies. And he asked me what I do here as a world delivery guy, and I told him that I'm looking to find the investors to my company. And then he tells me that it sounds nice, but he thinks that I need to have more experience in this field, and he invited me to work with him in the law firm. And this is how I got my first job in a law firm as a business development guy. And basically what I did is was to connect between companies that was his clients to investors. This is how I was introduced to this industry. After 2 years, I moved to a small startup company to be business development manager. And that's pretty much it.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
No, it's it's crazy to think you were just an Uber Eats driver, and then all of a sudden you just got yourself into this world. I feel like people like people. So if he liked you and he found you charming, he was like, I need to collect you.
Until today is one of my biggest mentors, and I learned about it from him, like about a lot of things, and he's amazing. Yeah.
Did he help you in any way navigate being a producer at Nova?
After October 7th.
After October
7th. Yeah. All the time that I work with him, he know that I do Nova. He know that I am produce parties.
But he didn't help you producing parties. But just business management within that.
No.
That ecosystem.
No. He doesn't know anything about this ecosystem.
So you were planning Nova Festival for October 6th while you were working for him. So what was your involvement in planning?
So basically my responsibility in the company Nova is to be charged of the licensing to make sure everything is legal.
So Yotam was telling me that it's very difficult to get permits. It's difficult to get permits in the center to do a festival like that in the center of Israel. Is that true?
It's not difficult. It's an art.
Art?
Yeah, it's artistic.
It's artistic to get permits in the center of Israel?
Yeah.
How? Why?
Because it's very hard.
So you just don't do it?
A few do it.
A few do it. Was your festival a bigger festival that people don't usually produce, don't usually have? Is this a bigger festival than other festivals? And that's why it was harder to get a permit?
Yes.
Okay. But they don't have 3-day festivals like this in Israel?
Barely. Yeah.
Okay, so you were kind of like its own category. So you decided to do it in Reim.
Yeah.
And were you in charge? Were you part of the planning of the location and stuff like that?
I led it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any concerns about it being close to Gaza?
100% no.
Really?
Of course no.
Why?
Because we're in Israel.
Yeah.
And there is army.
Yeah.
That should protect us.
Yeah.
And we did already events in this in the Reim area. Yeah.
Which Nova Festival was your favorite Nova Festival prior to October 7th?
Prior? So the Nova in Purim 22.
That's what Yotam said also.
Purim just next to, in this year.
That's really fun.
Yeah, it was amazing. Also in Gaza Envelope, it was like pure energy of love and yeah.
So you were in charge of licensing, and when did you start preparing on site for the festival?
Basically, licensing guy, I start preparing 5 months ahead, but the building itself of the event is like 5 days.
So you were there for
which is also a lot.
Yeah, you were on site for 5 days.
Yeah, I was there. 2 months before, 1 month before, 2 weeks before, 1 week before, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 day before.
So October 6th at 11 p.m. is when the doors opened?
Correct.
This isn't an interrogation anymore. Where were you at 11 p.m.? It's not an interrogation. So what was your anticipation for the festival? Like, how did you feel? What was going on?
I was feeling great. Everyone was good. Like,
everything was moving smooth.
Yeah. It was like one of our best events, maybe the best, the biggest, the brightest, the purest. Everything was too good to be true. And yeah.
And then 6:29.
6:29, I saw the rockets and went to the head of police department in the event with the commander of the event, right? He told me, shut down the music. Then I went up in the stage. If you saw me in the video in the beginning of the exhibit, I tell the DJ to stop, to shut off the music, and I started to evacuate the people. I immediately went off the stage and went to the parking lot to see that everyone find their way out and find their car, and there is not unnecessary panic attack.
When you saw those rockets, were you concerned? Or were you just like, oh, another day in Israel? Or they felt more severe?
Of course. I was not concerned.
You were not concerned.
No, it's another day in Israel. Rockets are something we know how to live with. We have Iron Dome, so I was not frightened at all. I used to also live in the north when I was a child in the Second Lebanon War.
Yeah.
So I remember I'm walking as 6 years old, not six, 11 years old, barefoot, rockets above my head, and I'm like chilled. All right, that's only rockets.
So you weren't concerned, but how come the police officers wanted to shut it down? They were concerned?
No. I also want to shut it down because I saw 2,000 rockets
like
in the sky.
Too many. Then you're like, this is not...
Yeah, we cannot make a party when it's 2,000 rockets above our heads.
The reason why I'm asking is because I know that it's a normal occurrence in Israel to have rockets, you know,
yeah, but
and
we want
sirens and stuff like that. But I guess this was a little...
As long as I was not concerned, I would not want any of single party goer to be damaged. Like,
yeah.
If there is a danger...
Any type of danger, you have to take proper...
Because this is myself.
Yeah.
But I can speak for myself. As a professional, I need to shut down the music and evacuate everyone.
So then you evacuated the people, you helped escort people to their cars and stuff like that?
Correct.
And then after that?
Afterwards, I was in parking lot for approximately 20 minutes. I went back to the event site, just looking around at that the supplier packing up their gears and everyone know what to do and don't like take the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't need to take the time.
Yeah.
And then I told myself, I have nothing to do here. I go. Because I don't want to be in a danger for myself. This was before I know about the terrorist. And I went up in the car, sent a WhatsApp in the family group. My sister told me that she's hiding in concrete shelter.
You WhatsApped your family and your sister said that she's in a bomb shelter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Small concrete shelter. Did not say which.
Okay.
Then I'm driving in a 232 road.
And just for our listeners at home so they understand, there's bomb shelters all over that area.
Yeah.
Off of the highway, there are bomb shelters for people.
Every junction.
Yeah.
Has two.
So just in case there are rockets, people have where to go.
Then I drove on 232 road. Police officer directed me south. Then I get a phone call of a friend that tells me, Nimi, don't want to panic you, but I think I just saw terrorists shooting at the car in front of me. And I told him, what? And are you sure? He told me, yes. I hang off. Immediately call Yagin and Nivi, the police commander. They both not answering me. Gaza is here. I'm here. No, Gaza is here. I'm here. I need to run here. Like this direction. It's like common sense, I think.
In my head, if I was there, it wouldn't even occur to me. I just would probably be like partying. I wouldn't even think, Gaza's here, I have to go there. It's so not a reality that we have to deal with here in America. Directionally, how to move away from a hub of terror. Crazy.
Also, neither do I. But when life is on the line,
mm-hmm.
you get to know special parts of yourself, of your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Then I drove approximately 20 minutes and trying to find a way for a safe place. And I could not feel safe at any place because everywhere I go, I see abandoned cars, open doors. Like it was very, how you say it when zombies are coming? Apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic. I was going to say eerie. Eerie.
I don't know, but it was apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Very much. No one's on the road. I'm alone. I felt alone in the world. I didn't see any sense of human being, of livingness.
When you see these cars being abandoned, did people flee or those are the cars that people were killed in?
I don't remember. Like my mind
turned
it off. Then I decided I need to find rifle, like not for myself because I don't know how to hold one, but I need to find someone with bullets. And then I drove until I found like a bunch of 5 or 6 police officers. I told them, can I be with you guys? They told me, yes, sure, we will protect you. And I was like, oh my god, thank you. And started to like sit with them and understand more what's going on. It was in Netivot Junction.
Okay.
Which is approximately 20 minutes driving from Reim site.
Okay, so you're already 20 minutes out.
In the meanwhile, I start get a lot of messages. Nimi, I'm stuck. Terrorists shoot at me. May you help me. Send me like a rescue. A lot of things like this. And I was like, okay, I'm running myself also. But I need to understand what I do. And then in the junction, a lot of cars started to hop on and come from different directions. Each car, like charred, not charred, like with holes.
With bullet holes?
Bullet holes, yes. Mm.
In the cars?
In the cars, dead people, injured people, and it was even more apocalyptic than it was before. I started just open car doors of cars that became to the junction and pull out of the car dead bodies, injured bodies. I was seeing the things that I saw in those moments I won't forget. I don't know if I can say things like this in podcast, so I will not say.
You can. I'm okay with you sharing that in podcast if you want to.
I check out, say okay. It in English. Just a moment.
If you're okay sharing it. Are you okay sharing about it?
A brain was spilled on my leg from a dead body. So like a half man was cut in half, but he just got an RPG in his chest and half of his body went off.
These cars were, so they were coming to this area.
To this junction.
This junction, and there was a driver and someone in the car was like, yeah, there were
and
a
then,
bunch of cars injured or killed people.
And yes, and then it was like a ambulance that can come to this junction because it was like a safe place for make a rescue. This is me with the black shirt. A specific one is injured man. Mm-hmm. He's not dead.
And so these people, who are they?
Bike.
They're bikers?
Bikers, yeah.
So they just came, they were biking and all of a sudden they just came to help.
Yeah.
And the ambulance is there? He's on a stretcher?
No, this is a terrorist car. What you see in this picture?
The terrorist car?
Yeah.
Where? What? The terrorist car where? Here?
This is a terrorist car.
That's their car?
Yeah, it was abandoned, but it was in this junction.
Oh.
And then, after approximately 7 bodies, injured and dead, that we pulled off, I hear in the radio of the officer, hey, 2 terrorists on the way to you, be prepared. I told myself, okay, I will go inside the shelter. And then I hear the gunfight outside of the Migunit, of the shelter.
Okay.
And I can literally feel the bullets outside, like feel the concrete is bombing from the AK-47. Yeah, it was crazy.
Like they were shooting at the shelter.
At the police officers who was near the shelter. And then I did Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kol Malchuto La'olam Ve'ed, and it was silent. It was like 30 minutes, maybe less, of a gunfight.
30 minutes?
Maybe less. Exactly when I finished the Shema Yisrael, it was silent, and I told myself, okay, if it's silent, someone is dead. If it's terrorists, they will come to look inside the shelter. If it's officers, I can run. So I looked out of the shelter. I could not wait to see what's going on. So I looked out and I saw the terrorist, like the policemen are alive. And I know I was saved for that moment. And then I opened the phone and started to see a lot of more people send me messages. So this was when I went in my car and decided to leave, just drive. And then I made it home at like 1 hour later. And I called from the way home, I called a friend of the family. His name is Moti Baruch. He's like the second highest ranked officer in the IDF. He's very like big officer. I told myself, hey Moti, I did a party in the south. A lot of people are shooting at me. And then he connected me to someone who is managing the units in the field in the area. And this guy connected me 4 units commanders that I was sending location to those people and to Yagil, my partner who was staying in the field. And after a few hours, those locations were saved. So I told myself, okay, this is like a good POC for our product of rescuing people. We see the demand. We see the supply we can serve. We don't have enough supply. How can we increase the supply using data? And then I thought myself, how can I make my data bigger? Because my data was like messages that I got out of the blue for my WhatsApp. And I went to get all of the data. So I did a post in Facebook. Hey, my name is Nimrod Arnin. I'm one of the organizers of the party. If you know anyone who is need rescue, send him my number. So send me his location. I got 6,000 messages. I delivered 2,000 messages. And we managed to rescue a few dozens, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, the guys in the field, Yagil and the army guys, did an incredible job. And then made a...
So who was rescuing these people?
Yagil and Yagil. Army guys.
And the army is... they were coming and finding all the people with their locations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I went to the Kiryat, to Minister of Defense, and we still had like hundreds of people who are missing. And I was thinking, okay, I have only my hands. I need technology to use the data and to find it. So I went to the Kiryat, to Shmonematayim and all of the technology. Shmonematayim is 8,200. It's a cyber unit in the Israeli intelligence. And they helped me to... this was also with Guy Katsovich, my friend. Those guys helped me with finding through technology more 30 numbers in the day after. And day later, we decided that this mission is irrelevant because we find only dead bodies. So we want to help save lives. And then we established like an OSINT unit, like civic OSINT unit, to help with preparing OSINT stuff for the military. You know what is OSINT? Open source intelligence. Yeah, it's like how we can produce intelligence from media.
Mm. So the people, there were still people hiding the next day and they were alive?
Some.
And then the other people, they like just found bodies, but you had their locations, but they didn't make it in time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And we got the message of my sister that she was found dead 3 days after.
3 days after. Do you know what happened?
Yeah, actually, Itamar, the guy you just saw, he's a good friend of her, and he was with her in the shelter. So just when he finished his operation in the hospital, he came to our home to tell us that she was dead.
And was there the grenades?
Grenades, yeah.
Bomb shelter, and they just threw grenades in the bomb
and
shelter.
And RPGs, and they were shooting with AK.
And no one came out alive.
Of course, Itamar.
Oh, Itamar was in the shelter with her.
Yeah, and a few got kidnapped, and a few got out alive. Yeah. Itamar and his girlfriend got out alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you hadn't heard from your sister in 3 days. What did you suspect happened?
That she was dead.
You thought she was dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very difficult. But I think the main thing that we do in the exhibition is to make sure that it won't happen again and to commemorate and memorize our beloved ones.
Do you mind sharing something about your sister? Tell me her name and share something about her.
Her name is Ayelet Arnin. She was 22 years old. She was a journalist. Mm-hmm. She did an army service in the IDF radio station. And afterwards, she went to work at Kan 11, if you know, Kan 11.
Okay.
Which one of the biggest broadcasting channels and stations in Israel. Mm-hmm. She was a producer. And she was an amazing sister and one of the smartest and like always living full and always surrounded by friends. Sharp. And I miss her very much.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's tough. But I think, like you said, part of the exhibit is to memorialize people, and so I feel that it's important to talk about them here so that people can know her and remember her, you know, even if they don't.
Yeah.
They will, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any other siblings?
Yeah, I have one more, a little brother.
How are your parents doing?
Good.
They're good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What are you doing to heal from this experience?
I do this exhibit.
And that's helping you heal?
Yeah.
Are you doing any of the community things, the Nova community things in Israel?
Yeah.
You're involved in that too?
Yeah.
Well, now I know the secret, which is that you coined the term, "We will dance again." That's a secret.
Yeah, I don't like usually looking for the credit. I don't speak about it a lot, but I think it's one of the most meaningful phrases that we use those times.
So what does "We Will Dance Again" mean to you?
So after the Shiva of my sister, I was devastated. I'm still devastated.
Yeah.
Heartbroken, but I was thinking to myself, this is terror what we've been through. And I realized that the main purpose of terror is to get you frightened. And to get you out of your daily basis. And if you want to counter the terror, which I don't have a rifle and guns and bullets that I can fight, I ask myself, how can I fight? So my answer for myself was, if you want to fight the terror, you need to just keep doing what you did before the terror, not to be afraid, and do what you used to do.
Yeah.
And what we were used to do is to dance.
Yeah.
And dance is not only about hearing music and move your body. It's about spirituality. It's about culture. It's about values that we believe in. And through the dance, we can apply those values. So if we stop dancing, they won.
Yeah.
But if we continue dancing, they won't win. They won't win ever, no matter what. And through those understandings, I went up with the idea of the phrase, we will dance again, which means so much. And this is the thing that we believe in. We will dance again. And I remember one of the first creative meetings after the event, I went up with this phrase, and everybody was saying, nah, it won't work. It's not a good one. I told them, it is, you will see.
It's literally the only thing that I've seen for the past 6 months.
Yeah.
That's in my sleep.
Yeah, definitely.
my grandparents are all Holocaust survivors, and they always felt like our family, just living our lives and, you know, being close to each other and moving on and living on and living great lives was like a big fuck you to Hitler. Like, fuck you.
Definitely.
We're
yes.
here. We're here.
Yes.
You want to terrorize? You could terrorize, but we're still going to be here and we're still going to dance. And so I feel that's kind of the message that I'm getting from you of that.
Definitely.
Experience. I'm so happy that you came on the pod, Nimrod.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming.
It was amazing.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of your time here at the exhibit.
Of course, every minute.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.